Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now on to the episode. Hi, and welcome back to another episode with me, your host, Francesca. So in today's episode, I want to talk about why eating less, eating little meals, could be making you feel worse in perimenopause if this is something that applies to you. So many women are underfueling. They're just not eating enough food across the day. Their meals are too small, or they may be skipping a meal, however it may be. And then by the end of the night, after dinner, they're finding themselves face first in the biscuit tin. Maybe they're being good all day. They're having oats with seeds for breakfast, salad for lunch, chicken and veg for dinner, all the so-called clean, healthy meals. But then they're just finding themselves raiding that biscuit tin after dinner. That is not a willpower thing. It is your hormones asking for help. They're literally saying, you know, I've been underfed all day. Metabolism and hormones are struggling so much that this then manifests as wild sugar cravings after dinner. So if this sounds like you, you're not alone. You're not failing either. And this isn't a willpower thing. This is literally your body, your metabolism, your hormone system simply responding to being underfueled. And we can fix that. Most women in perimenopause are undereating the important, you know, the right kinds of foods. And then that's leading them to overeat on the types of foods that are not so helpful. And it's creating stress, it's creating cravings, fatigue, and even more hormonal chaos than we already have in the perimenopause phase. So that's what I want to talk about in today's episode. Now, the first thing to say is we've definitely been subjected to decades of eat less and move more messaging. Now, if you're in perimenopause today in 2025, then you're likely, you know, 40s, mid 40s, like me. I'm 46 next month. So we were born in, you know, late 70s, early 80s. We were born into that decade of eat less, move more, you know, do lots of cardio, just eat tiny little meals throughout the day. Low fat, low calories. This sort of fear of calories and fats because they lead to weight gain. Restriction, we should restrict food, we should only eat clean, in inverted commas, we should only eat very light meals, and that's the way to keep your weight under control or lose weight. So that cultural conditioning has been around us basically since we were born. And, you know, like my mum, for example, I always overheard these sorts of conversations as a child with her and her friends, you know, I can't eat that, it's too fattening, or there's too many calories in that, or I better not, I've had enough calories for today, all that sort of thing. And then it's just leading us to get to this sort of stage in our life where we still have that cultural conditioning playing in the background, on us, even if it's on a subconscious level, telling us to just eat good, clean meals, light meals, small meals, you know, salads, porridge, unbalanced smoothies, for example. But perimenopause physiology is not the same as, for example, 20-something physiology. Our metabolism now has changed. It's a metabolic shift. Physiology in perimenopause creates a whole body system shift, with your metabolic system being one of them. And although it was never a good time to be low calories, low fat, you know, restrict your meals, eat less, move more, that rhetoric, that cultural conditioning was never correct. But in our 20s, for example, our 20s physiology, maybe even our early 30s physiology, could, in inverted commas, get away with that way of doing things. But perimenopause physiology is not the same. And the body cannot deal with these small, light meals, restricting calories, restricting fats, low protein, usually by accident for the most part. Our physiology in perimenopause just can't take it. Estrogen fluctuations make the body less efficient at using glucose for energy. So that's basically something known as insulin resistance. Estrogen as a hormone, when we have it in good balance levels helps the cells in the body and the brain be what's known as insulin sensitive, so sensitive to the hormone insulin, meaning that glucose efficiently gets into the cells in the body and the brain to be used as energy. So that helps our metabolic system to run efficiently, and that includes even our cognition to run efficiently, our brain to work, our body cells to work. And the opposite of that is when those cells become resistant to the actions of insulin. And the new erratic fluctuations of estrogen that we start to have experience in perimenopause does make those cells become less efficient. And that's particularly more pronounced the further we move through perimenopause and the closer we get to reaching menopause itself. And then also we have that decline in progesterone, which results in less blood sugar stability again and less calm in the body. The two situations, the erratic nature of estrogen, the decline in progesterone, can start to increase cortisol levels or dysregulate cortisol levels, I should say. And it just creates this big sort of metabolic shift and higher stress within the body. We also have the fact that muscle mass naturally declines with age, but it can decline that little bit more during perimenopause with the erratic fluctuations of estrogen and the decline in progesterone, that double whammy. And that then leads to a lower resting metabolic rate, and we become less sensitive, as I said, to insulin. So another reason why we become less sensitive to insulin is that decline in muscle mass. The result in that is that the same meals that used to work, again, in inverted commas, or the onslaught that our physiology could take in our 20s, for example, by way of eating less, now just leaves us depleted and stressed. It's like running your body on a half tank all day. And then by the evening, the warning lights start to flash and your brain is screaming for quick fuel. And that's where we get those cravings for sugar and refined carbohydrates like biscuits or bread or, you know, cakes, those sorts of things after dinner. So again, you're not failing. There's nothing wrong with you. There's no willpower issues with you. We would just need to look at what do you fuel your body with from morning to evening? And let's see if we can improve that so that we can then prevent those warning lights starting to come on in the evening where your brain starts to scream for the quick fuel because it's just had enough. You know, it's been running on this half tank or quarter tank of fuel all day. So some common signs that you might be underfueling would be that you get these, like I said, evening cravings or even binging or constant snacking throughout the day. You're constantly looking for something to eat, constantly feeling hungry in between meals. Energy crashes in the mid-afternoon, that mid-afternoon slump. I mean, that's quite common for so many people anyway. But if we're underfueling, these become much more pronounced. That sort of 4 p.m., just want to crawl under the desk and not do anything else. Feeling lightheaded or irritable between your meals, feeling hangry between your meals, hungry and angry at the same time. Poor sleep, so particularly waking up between sort of 1 and 3 a.m. consistently, and you're not sort of stressed when you wake up, or you don't necessarily need to go to the toilet, you're just waking up. You know, maybe you're getting back to sleep pretty easily, but you've got that constant wake up. That can be a sign of low blood sugar throughout the night, which would be perpetuated by this underfueling throughout the day. Constant fatigue, despite your so-called healthy, clean eating, your light meals, you know, your good meals. Low libido, slow recovery from exercise, poor mood, increased anxiety. But these things, so, you know, low libido, anxiety, low mood, these can be attributed to so many different things, that the fluctuating nature of estrogen, the decline in estrogen later in perimenopause, the decline in progesterone, it can be stress. So many things can feed into those, but underfueling will exacerbate these symptoms, will feed even more so into that cycle. So if any of those experiences or symptoms sound familiar, again, your body isn't failing. It's not broken. Don't just put this all down to perimenopause or, oh, I must need to go on some sort of diet. It can be solved by looking at how you're fueling your body, like I said, and coming up with different ways. Lots of women will say to me, I'm good all day, but then by 8 o'clock, I end up face first in the biscuit tin. And by good all day, they mean, well, they have a bowl of porridge, oats in the morning with seeds and maybe some berries. They have a salad of some sort for lunch. Then they have chicken and vegetables for dinner. So this might sound on paper healthy, clean, light, but there's not enough fuel in that in that set of meals. Not at all. With seeds for breakfast, not enough fuel. It's just a bowl of carbohydrates. Where's the fats? Yes, you could say there's some fats in the seeds. Maybe there's a tiny bit of protein in those seeds, but it's just not enough. Nowhere near the amount of good fats and protein that's needed to sustain somebody, to balance their blood sugar levels and sustain them, fuel them properly until they get to lunch. Just having a salad for lunch, most of these women will say, I might have a little bit of chicken, or I might have a couple of boiled eggs in the salad, or a little bit of fish. But it's, again, a little bit. It's not that full portion that we would be looking for of any type of meat or fish to provide that enough protein. They're usually not having a good enough salad dressing, like they might just be having a vinaigrette instead of a good tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil. They're not having enough other fats in there. It's, again, a very unbalanced, clean, healthy meal, so-called. And chicken and vegetables for dinner. Again, just chicken and vegetables. Are you, number one, having enough chicken to provide enough protein to sustain you, to balance blood sugar levels through the night? With that vegetables, are you having any starchy carbohydrates? So, you know, you're having any of those slow release complex carbs that will help sustain again through the night? Is there any good fats? So whilst, again, you know, it sounds healthy, why am I not losing weight if I'm eating like this? Or why am I feeling so rubbish if I'm eating well? Because you're under fueling. Your body just does not have your hormones, your metabolism system just doesn't have what it needs to be fueled across the day. And that results in more stress on the body, more cravings, more fatigue, more hormonal chaos, and more weight gain if that's something that you are struggling with. So let's have a look at why underfueling is such a stressor on the hormonal system and our metabolic system. So the body perceives this lack of fuel as stress, and that raises cortisol. Cortisol then increases blood sugar levels, disrupts our sleep, and slows our metabolism down. So a chronic low intake of protein and enough calories, enough healthy fats, results in this metabolic adaptation that your body has to do in order to help you survive. And now the body basically slows down. Body processes, the endocrine system, so your hormonal system, your metabolic system, everything will slow down in order to preserve energy to allow you to keep going, basically. And so where I said the body perceives this lack of fuel as a stressor and then raises or dysregulates cortisol, the erratic nature of estrogen in perimenopause also is a stressor and dysregulating to cortisol. The declining nature of progesterone in perimenopause is also a stressor and adds to this dysregulation of cortisol. So it's just, you know, this underfueling is just another thing. The more onslaught, basically, to our physiology at a time when we just don't need to be doing that, or we should not be doing that. So all of this body slowdown for this metabolic adaptation to your lack of fuel adds to these hormonal symptoms that we're probably already experiencing now that we've moved into perimenopause. So the irritability, the anxiety, sleep issues, brain fog, struggling to remember things, irregular cycles, heavy periods, painful periods, more or new PMS, breast pain, it all starts to be exacerbated if we're also adding underfueling into the picture. And undereating can also worsen thyroid health and adrenal health. So if we're worried about underactive thyroid, for example, the worst thing to do is undereat, underfuel. Your thyroid system will slow down, all part of your endocrine system, your overall hormone system. It's all looking to start slowing down while you're just not eating enough. So eating too little or missing the key nutrients. So we've got the macronutrients being the big nutrients. So that's protein, fats, carbohydrates. We need a balanced amount of all three macronutrients in every meal. And of course, there's the micro, the smaller nutrients that come from colorful fruits and vegetables, berries, herbs, spices, all the different types of smaller nutrients that we get in meat, fish, eggs, plants, everything. Eating too little, missing these key nutrients, whether big or small, not having the right balance of those big nutrients, it literally tells your body that it's in survival mode. Your brain doesn't care about your gene size. It doesn't, you know, it's not looking to keep you in shape. It's looking to help you survive. All it cares about is survival. So let's talk about what each macro nutrient, the protein, fat, carbs actually does in perimenopause and why imbalances in the balance of those three macronutrients on your plate can cause so many symptoms and issues. Most women undereat protein and they, as a result, will be overeating on carbs, not because they're necessarily eating lots of carbs, you know, because you might say, well, I just have a bowl of porridge for breakfast. I don't have carbs with lunch. I don't have carbs with dinner. They're not knowingly, purposely overeating on carbs, but because the ratio is off because of the low protein and the low fats, then they are essentially eating a high carbohydrate diet. It's they're under eating, they're under calories, low fat, low protein, but they're overeating on the carbs because that ratio is now completely unbalanced. And all of this is in a bid to try to be healthy, to eat well, to eat clean. Maybe you're trying to lose weight. Maybe you're trying to just clean things up and feel better. And like I said, it's unknowing. Women are doing this in a bid to be healthy, but they just don't realize they're just now completely underfueling. A lot of women are still undereating fats. I speak to so many women that say, oh, yes, I know that fats don't make us fat anymore. I know that was just a message we were given in the 80s and did go into the 90s. But now they understand that that messaging was all completely wrong, completely misled from studies that were not correct. We now know it's good to eat extra virgin olive oil. It's good to eat avocados. It's good to eat nuts and seeds and nut butter. These things are good for us, but we're still under eating. And usually this is on a subconscious level because we're still a little bit subconsciously scared of eating fats because it might make us fat. So I see this all the time, low protein, a little bit of fats, but not enough. And then essentially a high carb diet because of the fact that you're low protein and low fat. And that will just exacerbate the situation of insulin resistance that we're now already more prone to as we're moving through perimenopause because of the shifts in estrogen that cause shifts in how we respond to insulin, which is really important for allowing us to efficiently process our carbohydrates. And so that can just start to worsen those symptoms. Like I said, brain fog, brain fatigue, body fatigue, muscle aches and pains, and weight gain, particularly around the middle. So in perimenopause, our perimenopause physiology cannot handle this imbalance in protein, fats and carbs. It really does backfire to start eating less, eating small, light meals, because each of those macronutrients has a distinct hormonal role. So protein helps to build and preserve our lean muscle, which we're losing muscle as we age, and a little bit more so through perimenopause because of the change in our hormones. So the lack of protein, we're not going to be able to build and preserve the muscle that we have as well. Protein keeps our blood sugar levels stable. It's the key nutrient for stable blood sugar levels. It supports hormonal detoxification. So the different amino acids that protein breaks down into play a role in supporting the liver's detoxification processes of your used estrogen, which is really important for healthy estrogen balance and estrogen health. They also play a role in making our brain some really important brain chemicals, neurotransmitters like serotonin, dopamine, GABA, melatonin. And protein also plays a role in boosting our metabolism. So all of these things are going to be under fire if we don't have enough protein coming in with every meal. Fats form the building blocks of manufacturing the hormones in our body. So we get omega-6, omega-9, omega-3s from your oily fish. We get oleic acid, we get medium chain triglyceride fats, that's MCT oil, for example, which comes from coconut. We have saturated fats, which come from, say, butter. We have cholesterol that comes from eggs, for example. All of these different types of fats help to nourish the body and brain cells. They're really important for keeping the outer layer of the cells fluid and flexible, particularly omega-3 fats from oily fish, really support the health of the outer layer of our body and brain cells. So that's really important for memory and, preventing brain degenerative diseases later in life as well. And they also, these different types of fats, they help to regulate appetite, balance blood sugar as well. And then the next macronutrient is carbohydrate. So of course, like I said, we tend to overeat on carbs because we're not having enough protein and fats, even though we think we're eating, low carb. Again, if that ratio is off because we just don't have enough protein and fats with those carbohydrates, then you essentially have a carb-heavy diet. And that will impact blood sugar levels big time. So a meal that's low in protein is naturally be high in carbs. And then that's going to dysregulate blood sugar levels. And particularly during perimenopause, our physiology just is already more sensitive when it comes to breaking down carbohydrates and handling those efficiently. So we're just adding fuel to the fire by not having enough protein and fats with those meals as well. Carbohydrates are important. They support thyroid function, for example. They support the production of serotonin in the brain. They keep cortisol in check. So again, a low carb, like a super, super low carb diet can be a stress on the body because, and that will start to, you know, the brain thinks you're starving. The brain's like, where is the fuel? So then that kicks in the production of cortisol, so low carb, under eating, being too low carb, those are stress signals of them in and of themselves. So we do need all three, have a really important place. We do need all three of them on our plate. But when it comes to carbohydrates, it's more about the types of carbs that we're going for and the amount of carbs that we're going for and how well they are balanced with protein specifically first, and then some fats, and of course, lots of lovely fiber as well. But the types of carbs we want to go for are the ones that do include fiber as well. And then we would also add in vegetables to add more fiber there too. But it's not about perfection. It's about balance and consistency. So it's about having the right balance with all three meals, consistently eating all three meals in a, say, 12-hour window, just as an example, and then having a nice 12-hour fasting window between finishing dinner and starting breakfast the next day. That consistency is what your hormone system and your metabolic system will thrive on. They will love you for it and then find balance far more easily. And as a result, you'll start to feel so much better. You'll start to feel more balance in your mood, in your energy, even in your weight. You know, you'll just really start to reap the rewards. Your sleep, all of these things will start to improve. So this is where we need to take the information and use it to support ourselves during a time where physiology is changing so much that we are starting to experience certain symptoms and challenges as we move through perimenopause. We can do things, and this is an example of that, to support our physiology so that those symptoms and challenges are not anywhere near as bad as they need to be. I see this all the time. I see women saying, you know, they don't know what sort of mood they're going to wake up with on any given day. They don't know how they're going to sleep on any given night. They don't know whether it's going to be a day of anxiety, irritability, or a day of rage. They feel completely out of balance. They don't know whether they're coming or they're going. Their energy's all over the place, usually on the floor. But when we talk about what they eat, and they're having, again, a very small bowl of porridge with some seeds in the morning and a little bit of berries. And then they're having this tiny little salad for lunch, and they're having this tiny little meal for dinner with no carbohydrates, just some protein and some vegetables. And again, whilst on paper this looks healthy, back in the day, that would have been a diet. I mean, even today there's diets like that, which should not be around anymore, but they are. And it's no wonder this woman, she's going through the new hormonal physiology of perimenopause, and she's underfueling. And like I said, in our 20s, our physiology could get away with it. It still wasn't good, but we could get away with it and still carry on and feel okay. We were much more resilient physiologically back then than we are now. And so you add into this new hormonal picture, this underfueling, and it's not supportive. So there is so much that we can do to support ourselves. And in my practice with clients, once we start just, you know, really overhauling how they eat, and like, it doesn't have to happen overnight, this overhaul, we usually just start with one thing, one change in one meal, and they're already saying, I feel better, okay, what's next? And then the better they start to feel, the more inclination they've got to do more, to take on more changes. So let's look at some examples of what a balanced meal looks like versus an underfueled one. So for breakfast, the underfueled version example is a bowl of porridge, a few seeds, maybe a drizzle of honey or some mashed banana. Maybe there's a dollop of nut butter. So in here, we've probably got about 5 to 8 grams of protein, but we're mainly looking at a bowl of carbohydrates. That is going to lead to a mid-morning crash, sugar cravings, irritability, worsening of any anxiety or mood swings, mood issues, possibly headaches, if you're prone to that, and that feeling of being hangry between your meals. The balanced version is where this person is getting 30 to 35 grams of protein instead of about 5 to 8. They're getting plenty of healthy fats, fiber, and slow release carbs. That version would be one closed fist size portion of the oats. They're going to make it with a mixture of water and coconut cream or coconut milk from a tin. So you would buy full fat coconut cream or full fat coconut milk. You'd use a dollop of that, maybe a couple of tablespoons, mix it with water and to cook your oats. You would top it with a scoop of unflavored protein powder, mix that in. You'd use some almond or cashew nut butter and some berries. So this would be your balanced version of oats. It would give you 30 to 35 grams of protein, depending on how much unflavored protein powder you're using and how much protein is in that scoop. You've got good healthy fats in there from the coconut milk or cream and the good quality nut butter. And you've got some slow release carbs from your one fist size of oats, and you've got some berries which contain lots of lovely antioxidants. Meal is going to keep your blood sugar levels stable. Instead, it's going to support muscle maintenance and it's going to reduce cravings and keep your energy balanced and your mood balanced until lunchtime, when you should repeat in terms of the amount of protein and fats and carbs that you're going to get. Other balanced breakfast ideas would be that you'd have 2 to 3 eggs cooked in butter or olive oil with avocado, sautéed spinach, on rye toast. Even better would be to add leftover chicken or some smoked salmon to that, because 2 eggs would be about 10 to 12 grams of protein. 3 eggs would be about 15 to 16 grams. So you still want to get another 15 or so grams of protein. So that's where it'd be great to add in some leftover chicken meat or some smoked salmon or any other good quality like chicken meat or fish that you can add into that. Other options would be a protein smoothie. So you would use a good quality unflavored protein powder, the serving that gives you about 30 or so grams of protein. You'd put some good quality nut butter, so that'd be almond or cashew butter, some coconut oil, flaxseed, ground flaxseed, some pumpkin seeds, spinach or kale, and some berries. That would make a really great protein smoothie. Now let's have a look at an underfueled lunch. So an underfueled version of lunch would be a green salad made with like things like lettuce, spinach, cucumber, tomato, red onion, all good stuff. A few strips of chicken or a handful of chickpeas or a boiled egg or a few bits of salmon steak. But it's only about 10 to 15 grams of protein at the most. It's low in calories and there's little fat in there and complex carbs. So this is not a balanced meal. It's underfueled. It's light, it's clean, but it leads to afternoon fatigue and sugar cravings. And again, worsening of any anxiety, irritability, headaches, if you're prone to that, brain fog. A balanced version would be a warm quinoa and roasted vegetable salad. So in here, you'd have about a fist-sized portion of cooked quinoa. You would have some roasted vegetables, some other green leaves, dark green leafy veg, tomatoes, onions, whatever you might like to put in a salad. You'd have a good whole chicken breast, portion of chicken breast. So that'd be about 100, at least 100 grams of cooked chicken, whether it was breast or thigh meat, it doesn't matter, but at least 100 to 120 grams cooked weight of that meat. Or it could be a fish or it could be tofu or tempeh, but you would need to double the weight to get the same amount of protein. You would have some avocado in there, maybe half an avocado, a tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil as a dressing with some vinegar and a sprinkle of pumpkin seeds on the top. So that's about 30 to 35 grams of protein. You've got your healthy fats, you've got your fiber from all the different veg and the quinoa, and you've got your slow release carbs from the quinoa. This keeps your energy steady, supports hormones, supports metabolism, supports thyroid, supports everything, supports mood, anti-brain fog, anti-anxiety. This is where, you're balancing blood sugar after that breakfast. Other balanced lunches would be salmon, sweet potato, leafy greens with olive oil. But again, when you're looking at the portion of salmon, you really want it to be a good sized salmon steak. Usually a regular sized salmon steak is about 20 grams of protein. So maybe you'll have 1.5, or maybe you'll have salmon with a couple of boiled eggs as well, just to up that to your 30 grams of protein. You might use, like I said, baked sweet potato or sweet potato wedges as your slow release carbohydrate, and it would be about the equivalent of one closed fist size. You could use baby's new potatoes as well instead, your leafy greens and your extra virgin olive oil as a dressing. Very simple, but balanced. It could be a lentil and vegetable soup with a side of chicken, because that's the thing. Soups can be great. They're so healthy. You know, we put all these lovely lentils and beans in there, but we're still missing a lot of protein. So maybe you'd get about 10 grams of protein from your lentil and vegetable homemade soup. So if you can have a side of chicken or fish or eggs, that would be great. That would be needed. It could be a whole chicken breast with boiled potatoes, mixed green leaf salad and extra virgin olive oil. Dinner, an example of an underfueled dinner would be grilled chicken breast and steamed vegetables. And that's it. Or it's a piece of fish with steamed veg. That would be 20 to 25 grams of protein, no carbohydrates, very little fat. So it feels healthy, but it leaves you craving dessert or sugar later, you know, again, face first in the biscuit tin by 8 o'clock. You're thinking, why? I eat healthily all day, but why can't I just, curb those cravings after dinner? What's wrong with me? Why am I sitting here now drinking tea, eating all these biscuits? It's really annoying. I'm so good all day and now look at me. And it leads to self-hatred. And it isn't you. It's not a willpower issue. It's an underfueling issue. So you're more likely with this low carb, low fat, semi-good protein, but low carbs at dinner, you're more likely to wake in the night from low blood sugar or low serotonin from being so low carb. So a balanced version would be pan fried or baked chicken, beef, lamb or fish, where your cooked portion is going to give you around 30 grams of protein. So, you know, if you need a bigger chicken breast or 1.5 or, you know, 1.5 portions of fish, for example. So making sure that you've done your research on just something as simple as Google. You know, let's say you know that your piece of beef or your piece of chicken weighs roughly 100 or so grams cooked. You could literally Google how much protein is in 100 grams of cooked chicken breast or cooked beef. And it's going to be around 27 to 30 grams. And you'd have that with roasted vegetables, as an example, some sautéed greens, or just quickly stir fry lots of different types of veg in a pan. A fist-sized portion of either baby new potatoes or sweet potato or brown rice or quinoa, and a good drizzle of extra virgin olive oil or tahini sauce. That is your balanced version. It adds fiber, healthy fats, complex carbs to sustain blood sugar levels and calm your nervous system, ready for a good night's sleep with less waking and preventing those cravings after dinner for the biscuits or the chocolate or whatever it might be. Now, there's nothing wrong with a couple of squares of good quality 85% dark chocolate after dinner. It's very low in sugar. So that's something that could just give you that little kind of like sweet chocolate taste after dinner, but it's nothing that's going to, you know, cause these carb cravings and blood sugar dips in the night. So other balanced dinners would be a simple stir fry made with prawns or chopped turkey or beef stir fry, chicken or tofu or tempeh with either brown rice or buckwheat noodles. That's a good option for a slow release carb. And mixed vegetables, and you could cook that in soy sauce or sesame oil, you know, whatever you might like to do your stir fries in. It could be beef or lentil and turkey mince, so beef mince or turkey mince mixed with lentils to make a chili mince, a nice sort of chili with rice and avocado and some spinach leaves or some kale. So an underfueled version of a snack is having just an apple or just having some rice cakes with a little bit of nut butter, or just having a handful of nuts. The handful of nuts is helpful. It's far better than having a packet of crisps, for example, because you've got some healthy fats in there that will sustain you a little bit. But when it comes to snacks, one of the biggest mistakes that we're making is we're just not having enough. Again, we're not having enough food in our meals, but we're not having enough food in our snacks either. Just an apple. If you're starving in between meals and your blood sugar is dipping, an apple on its own is not going to sustain you until your next meal. A handful of nuts, it's going to help, but it's not going to completely sustain you. You might still find that you're craving before your next meal. Rice cakes, they're just rice. That's not balancing blood sugar levels. These are mostly carbs or just fat from the nuts. There's no meaningful protein. This is just a temporary boost. It might keep you going for another hour. So a balanced version of a snack would be something bigger, like a leftover chicken and chicken salad, even just having a tin of sardines, or if you like these things, a tin of sardines, a tin of mackerel mixed with some salad, or on a slice of rye toast if you're at home and able to prepare that. Some unflavored, good quality Greek yogurt, live natural yogurt with some berries and some seeds. or some nut butter in there, a good quality protein shake that you make at home, that you make yourself, with some almond butter, some berries, a couple of boiled eggs with a small piece of fruit. So just eating more or having half of a leftover meal, that would make it far more balanced and satiating until your next meal. And again, a lot of people are so worried, but isn't this going to make me fat? I get this question all the time. Isn't this going to make me gain weight? No, this is going to help you. If you need to lose weight, it's going to help you lose weight, particularly that midsection fat that you might be struggling with. And it's going to help you feel better. Your brain, your body, everything is going to thank you for increasing your fuel, including with your snacks. So an underfueled meal looks healthy on the outside. It's light, it's clean, it's virtuous, all these things that we're supposed to be doing, but it's missing the magic combination of protein, fat, and fiber that tells your body it's safe, it's fed, it's balanced, everything's okay. These balanced meals actually feed your hormones. They feed your endocrine system, your metabolic system. They stabilize your blood sugar and keep you calm and energized and keep that brain fog at bay as well. Your body needs balance right now, not restriction from light, so-called healthy meals, underfueling. When you give your body the right mix of protein, healthy fats and slow release carbs with every meal and snack, if you're having them, everything calms down and improves. Your energy, your mood, your cravings, your hormone, you know, what's going on with your hormones, that decline in progesterone can improve. The erratic nature of estrogen can be kept a little bit calmer, and your sleep improves, your brain fog improves. All of these things that we're, you know, really struggling with during perimenopause can be improved significantly by fueling properly. So perimenopause is not the time to eat less. It's the time to eat smarter. So prioritize protein, aim for 30 to 40 grams with breakfast, the same at your lunch and the same at your dinner. That's going to help with satiety, with balancing your blood sugar, with muscle growth and maintenance, and with your metabolic health and your metabolism. Add in those healthy fats, half an avocado each day, extra virgin olive oil, 1 to 2 tablespoons every day, good quality nuts, seeds, all the oily fish. So that's obviously going to make up protein as well. So the oily fish would include salmon, mackerel, trout, herring, sardines. Those are your oily fish that contain the omega-3 types of fats that are great for the brain, great for metabolic health, great for anti-inflammatory as well. And they also make up protein. Coconut oil, coconut milk, coconut cream, these contain the medium chain triglyceride fats, MCT. They're really great for brain energy. And these fats keep your hormones happy. They support your cell membranes and support that satiety between meals as well. Don't fear carbohydrates, just choose them wisely. So as I said, especially whole food carbohydrates that are rich in fiber. So that's quinoa, root vegetables, starchy root vegetables, oats, beans, lentils, brown rice, buckwheat. You're just thinking about the portion size as well, being around one closed fist size. If that meal is post like an intense workout, let's say you're having lunch after a workout, you're having dinner after a workout, then you could probably have two close fist sizes of your carbs. Carbohydrates are necessary. We need them for thyroid function, serotonin balance, cortisol balance, that, you know, to help balance out the stress response. The body is looking for a level of carbohydrates. We just want to choose them wisely and think about the portion size. Ideally, as I said, 3 solid meals. Within a 12-hour window, ideally you don't need to snack, but for the most part, a lot of us do. I always need a snack between lunch and dinner because I might have my lunch around 1:30 and I'm not having my dinner till about 7:30. That's a big gap. Between breakfast and lunch, I'm fine because I'll have my lunch when I'm ready to eat again. So breakfast for me is around 8:30, lunch is around 12:30, 1 o'clock, maybe 1:30, and I'm usually fine in between because my breakfast is a sustaining, you know, good amount of protein that I've just mentioned. But then in between lunch and dinner, I'll always have a snack similar to the ones I've mentioned. So always protein based and bigger than I might think I need. Each meal should feel satisfying, not diet size, not light, not clean. You know, you want satisfying meals in the way that I've explained. This is going to keep your blood sugar and your cortisol steady. So 3 solid meals, minimal snacking, 1 if you need it, usually between lunch and dinner, absolutely fine. And like I said, eating ideally within a 12-hour window and then fasting for 12 hours between finishing dinner and starting breakfast the next day. always make sure your breakfast is within about 60 minutes of waking. Again, perimenopause physiology needs us to do things differently. If we were before skipping breakfast or not eating until 10, you know, delaying breakfast till 10, 11 o'clock, great, that may have worked for you back then. But your perimenopause physiology does not like that. Whether you want to accept that or not, it is the truth. So getting in there within about 60 minutes of waking with your proper breakfast with 30 to 40 grams of protein, your healthy fats, that's really going to help to set the tone for the rest of the day and help to balance everything out so that you're feeling more balanced for the rest of the day in all sorts of ways. Skipping breakfast is, or only having those carbs for breakfast, just having a bowl of porridge, it really will lead to that mid-morning crash that we just don't need right now. So when you start fueling properly, your body stops shouting at you. It finally feels safe. And that means that your mood can become more balanced, your sleep become better, your energy more balanced. You know, like I said, less brain fog, less irritability, less anxiety, and improvements in weight if that's an issue for you. So it's not about, okay, I need to do this complete overhaul. It's looking at how you can make positive tweaks to what you're already doing so that you feel less overwhelmed about it. And moving that mindset from restriction to nourishment. It's not about restricting. Small is not healthy. Light is not healthy. Nourishment is healthy. And underfueling is not nourishment. Eating enough is a form of self-care and nervous system regulation that so many of us are missing. We're not giving ourselves. Your hormones thrive on safety. Your metabolic health thrives on safety. And safety comes from being well-fed, not restricted. Eating enough isn't indulgent. So many women say this, oh, this all sounds really indulgent. Like I say, you know, aren't I going to get fat? No, eating enough isn't indulgent. It's absolutely foundational. Underfueling creates stress. Eating properly creates balance. And that is what your hormone system is crying out for more than ever during perimenopause and beyond. So that is my key takeaway. Underfueling is one of the biggest hidden drivers of perimenopause symptoms, and giving your body what it needs, nourishing your body, starting to eat bigger, balanced meals 3 times a day is the biggest way to support your symptoms and your challenges that you're potentially experiencing as you're moving through perimenopause. If you've been trying to eat clean, in inverted commas, but you're still exhausted, you're craving sugar, you're irritable, you're anxious, you can't sleep, you're having these energy slumps, you've got headaches, brain fog, I really do invite you to look at how much and how often you're fueling. How are you really fueling yourself? And be honest with yourself. So start tomorrow by upgrading your breakfast, making sure you're getting 30 grams of protein from the foods that you've chosen to eat at breakfast, some healthy fats, and see how different your energy feels for the day. I promise you'll notice a difference. Everybody does. And I'd love to hear from you. So drop me an email. My email address is in the show notes. You can contact me on Instagram as well, which is also in the show notes. And of course, if you want help and accountability with changing how you eat, but also adding, you know, everything else, the lifestyle piece, the supplement piece, then join Midlife Thrive. That's my monthly membership. It's cancel anytime. You get to work through all of the foundations for how to fuel your body properly for your hormones, your metabolism, and like I said, all the other important foundational habits, and a lot more support and education for the time that you choose to remain in the membership. It's £39 a month. We're ready. You can join anytime. Again, the details of that will be in the show notes. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and I'll look forward to seeing you in the next one. Bye for now. If you found this episode helpful, then please share it with anyone else who you think could benefit. And consider leaving a rating and a review, as this will help the podcast to reach and help more people. And if you need more guidance on your own health journey, you can grab my free guide, 6 Steps to Mastering Your Hormones in Your 40s, over at francescaliparotti.com, where you can sign up for your free copy. Or you'll also find the link in the show notes.